Yasodhanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yasodhanandana Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ye Rama, Ram Ram Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Tagore, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Hare Tagore, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Hare Bol. Jaya Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra. Vala Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra. Jaya Nrisinga Dev, Nrisinga Dev, Nrisinga Dev, Jaya Nrisinga Dev. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Gaura Premanande, Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa. Sri Vrijagatari Oshtatara Sattva Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founded Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Rindaki, Nam Chari Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Premsa Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Rindaki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Samakunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Vrindavan dham ki, Sri Matuta dham ki, Navadvip Mayapur dham ki, Ganga Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, His Divine Grace is Khan, Founded Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sridhar Prabhupada ki, Their Lordship Sri Shinitai Gaura Chandra ki, Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasingha Devi ki, Param Vidayate Sri Krishna San Kirtanya Gya ki, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru and Garanga. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayambhuva Manu, advises Dhruva Maharaj. This is text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Swam pratyag atmani tada bhagavati ananta ananda matra upapana samashta shakto bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakai avidya Grantim vibet yasi mamaham iti parudham. Tvam pratyakatmani tada bhagavatyananta. Ananda matra upapana samashta shakto.
Ananda matra upapana samashta shakto.
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakaira vidya.
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakaira vidya.
Grantim vibhetyasi mama hamiti purudnam. You, pratyak atmani, under the super soul, tada, at that time, bhagavati, under the supreme personality of Godhead, anante, who was unlimited, anandamatre, the reservoir of all pleasure, upapana, possessed of, Shamashta, all. Shakto, potencies. Bhaktim, devotional service. Vidhaya, by rendering. Paramam, the supreme. Shanakai, very soon. Avidya, of illusion. Grantim, the knot. Vipetyasi, you will undo. Mama, my. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Parudham, firmly fixed. Translation, thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. You can repeat, thus regaining your natural position,
thus regaining your natural position,
and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord,
rendering service unto the Supreme Lord,
who is the all-powerful reservoir,
who is the all-powerful reservoir,
all pleasure,
of all pleasure,
and who lives in all entities as the Supersoul. You will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nrupa Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of 5 years he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though liberated, he was, for the time being, afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Jenatasmai Sikhadave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shwaram Rupa Kadamayam Dadantishva Badantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adhaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Om Am Him Shom Om Padom Tataka Hataka Kesha Gajalat Padakalojana Padhadaka Naka Sparsadiva Singha Namostate. Where's Pallad? Oh, he's just coming? Yesterday we quoted one verse, which is also in relationship similar to the verse we're speaking today. It also contains some of the words, the grantim, the knot. Pumsha stadiya mituni bhavam tayor mito hidaya granti moho atogi akshata sitapta vitayar janasya moho yam ahammameti. Ahammameti, I am mine. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception, which Hridaya Grantim ties together the hearts of the man and the woman, one becomes attracted to his body, to his home, to his wife, to his children, to his household paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So the Hridaya Grantim means not. So the Hridaya Grantim, the hard knot of material existence, is tied due to our affection for this material existence in the form of wife, children, house, household paraphernalia, etc. One becomes more and more entangled as one becomes the so-called master of his household. So he begins to think, I and mine. So this knot, Hridaya Grantim, can be undone, can be untied, as soon as we take up our natural position as servants of the Lord. Instead of being the master, we see ourselves as servant. It is the conception of master which entangles us in this materialistic life. Even the pauper can be proud of his penny. So one can even think, although he has nothing, he is also master. Not that just one has a big kingdom and he is master, but even if one has this conception that I am the enjoyer, then even if he has one tiny little penny, he can be completely entangled in material existence. So, the Hridaya Grantim. The more one engages in material activity, the more he develops this conception. Thus the knot becomes tighter. Just like if you tie your shoe, like yesterday it was a little cold out, so we tie our shoe. We put shoes on, we tie our shoe, and we go out, and let's say there's a puddle of water. So what happens if you have a hard knot and you walk through water? Right? Then you come back to the temple, and you try to undo the knot. It's very hard. It's not easy. Because that knot got wet. So Hridaya Grantim, already there's a knot when we take our birth. We're already in the material conception of life. We're already intoxicated with our body when we come into this material world. But that knot is tightened more and more. The Hridaya Grantim, or the strong affection for material existence, is tightened and put in water and made hard and difficult to undo because of our undue affection for our bodily extensions. This we elaborated on extensively yesterday, how it's not just my body that I become attached to, but I become attached to the bodies of many others, and through them I enjoy extended sense gratification. For instance, when we just had the Commonwealth Games, isn't it? So somebody who has nothing to do with you is, you know, running or jumping like a monkey on behalf of New Zealand, isn't it? It's just monkey business. What is all this monkey business? What is the business of a monkey? A monkey jumps up and down, swings on trees, jumps over poles, and then after finishing, he goes and has sex with his she-monkeys. So these big, big athletes, you know, with these big, big bodies, they are going and they are jumping over poles, swinging under bars, running along the track, jumping in the sand. And then, you know, when they win their medal, they're very happy. They go home and they have sex with their she-monkey. So this is, they're no better than animals, actually, with animal existence, because they have no knowledge of atma-tattva, knowledge of the soul. So by this monkey business, they become more and more entangled in material life. So, but back home, where were the Commonwealth Games played? Oh. Well, we had the honor in New Zealand to have the games played here. So everyone is, they have their mates. They have their, in Russia they call them comrades, here you call them mates. So the people of one particular country, they send their mates overseas. And these mates swing on bars, run on tracks, and jump in the sand, and so forth. And then in this way, if they're victorious, then the members of that particular country take great pride and joy. Great pride and joy that the people of their country, you know, New Zealand, Australia, England, they have won this medal for their monkey business. They take great pride in this. And what is this? This is simply an extended selfishness, an extended bodily conception, nationalism. We spoke about this, nationalism. But it's the bodily concept of life is so strong. This person, this monkey, has nothing to do with you, and he is jumping and swinging, and he wins some little piece of metal as a prize for his antics, and we feel somehow connected. Oh, you know, New Zealand has won the gold medal. You know, New Zealand has won the silver medal. New Zealand has won the bronze medal. So this is the extended bodily con. This is how deep is the ahankara. Ahankara means the false attachment to material existence. It is very, very strong. It is very deep. Even we see that old people, when they're no longer able to enjoy their own body, they enjoy through the bodies of others in the forms of their children and their grandchildren. Listen, every father wants to see his son become more successful than him. Already he's intoxicated. Already he's in the bodily concept of life. But it becomes even deeper and stronger by the fact that because he's attached to his family members, whatever the son does or the daughter does, he takes personal pride in that. You know, my daughter has graduated with such and such a degree, or my son is, you know, now a lawyer or something. He takes great pleasure. And it's become so ludicrous. The material nature, again, makes us look more stupid than an ass. Because even when one gets old age, and one should be retiring from the material activity and becoming free from the material conception of life. In old age, this is a warning. Now, get ready to leave. Now you're getting old, so like, get free of these attachments. It's nature's grace. Just like today, we said there's an advantage to every stage of life. They see it as a disadvantage. We see it as an advantage. Youth. Youth is a time to prepare oneself for the mission of life, to study, to become austere, control our senses. Practice makes perfect. So we're practicing when we're young, so that when we get older, we can control our mind and senses. So old age, what is the advantage of being old? Just like Lokanath Swami, one of our beloved sannyasis in Krishna consciousness, in charge of the Pada Yatra, India around the world, he wrote a very nice Vyas Puja offering last year. He said, I'm glad I'm getting old. He said, because I no longer have to struggle with my turbulent mind and senses. Now I'm getting more mature, and my body is reminding me that I am not the enjoyer. So like that, old age can also be an impetus towards Krishna consciousness. But if one is not properly trained in devotional service, what happens when he gets old? He's been struggling his whole life to enjoy. He can't do it. He's getting frustrated. But there's one last resort. Maya offers one last trap. One last trap. Maya is so tricky, she won't let go to the end. From the beginning to the end, she's bewildering us, kicking us in the face, confusing us, thinking we're the enjoyer. So just when we're getting old, we can begin to realize, actually it's frustrating, this material life. I cannot enjoy. My body's getting old. Let me renounce this world. At that last stage, when the last chance, she has just no compassion. Maya has no compassion. Just like you're in a fight with somebody, and you know, just at the end, he's just bloody and bitty, and then he's one last punch, you know, take that. Maya's merciless. What did we call her the other day? Rudrini. She who makes you cry forever. So, you know, just we're struggling last minute, and it's okay, give up a little bit, okay? You know, a little bit. All right, enough's enough. But, you know, one last punch. What is that? What is her last trick? Her last card in the deck, right? Maya's got all the ace in the deck. You know. So the last thing, she throws down the card, you rascal. Here, just get illusioned by this, Mr. Fish. What is that? That we're old and we should be renouncing. But because of the strong identification with the body and with our bodily parts and parcels, mundane family members, we begin to see, oh, I can enjoy through my sons and my daughters. And this is what they do. They actually take great, their body no longer works. So on the mental plane, they enjoy through the family members. They enjoy through they enjoy through their memory. When I was young, I used to be like this, you know. Oh, grandpa, you know, yeah, yes. He can no longer exhibit his pastimes, you know, of making money, maintaining the household, and doing his wonderful activities. So, you know, he's speaking, you know, yes, when I was young, when I was 17, those were the very... Frank Sinatra. You know about Frank Sinatra. He had one of his organs transplanted with the organ of a monkey so he could continue his sex life. Actually, Frank Sinatra, he was a famous singer. He became impotent as he grew older, so he had the monkey's organ transplanted for his. And in this way, he continued to enjoy his sex life. So this is the how Maya makes us look more foolish than an ass or a monkey. This is the monkey business, but only monkeys. But how foolish. One should be renouncing these things. Actually, one should never take them up, but anyway, at least at one stage one should renounce. But they're so foolish, they cannot renounce. So in old age, they're trying to enjoy through extended sense gratification. So that very important verse, Pum Sha Studya Mituni Bhavam Toyor Mito Hidaya Grantim Atogi Kshetta Sutapti Vitaya Janasya Mohoya Mahammameti. One becomes attracted due to this conception of attraction between man and woman in the materialistic conception of life. One becomes very attached to his body. But not only to his body, to his wife, to his children, to his home, to his household paraphernalia, etc., 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 etc. Like we said yesterday, extends very. And that condition is very difficult to overcome. It's very difficult to overcome. But it's stated here that by regaining your natural position and rendering service to the Lord, who is all-powerful, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. So devotional service is the natural condition of the living entity. Instead of being servant of, you know, so many bodily understandings, one is actually servant of the Lord. And once one acts as servant of the Lord, the other conceptions, the misconceptions, they disappear. Because devotional service, it's due to the fact that we're not acting as the servant of God that these misconceptions come about. So as soon as we act naturally as the servant of the Supreme Lord, the other illusory conceptions, they disappear. Prabhupada gave the example of water. The natural state of water is liquid. But when there is an artificial condition, for instance, if it's very cold, if it's very cold, what happens to water? It freezes. And if it's very hot, what happens to water? It evaporates. Both of those are artificial, or whether should we say extreme conditions. They're extreme conditions. So the one extreme condition, very cold. Another extreme condition, very hot. So water is affected like that. It freezes or it evaporates. But as soon as you regulate the temperature, you make the temperature normal, what happens? Water returns to its natural state. The ice melts and again becomes liquid, and the evaporated water, the mist, whatever it may be, it again becomes liquid. It regains its natural situation. So in a natural atmosphere of devotional service to the Lord, we regain our original consciousness. That's why it's so important to live in the temple. That's why it's so important to live in the association of devotees, because this is the spiritual world. The activities and the way of life which Srila Prabhupada has given us is actually Vaikuntha. And even we may be in the extreme condition of heat or cold, we may be in the extreme condition of material consciousness, that I am this body, that I am this and I am that. If we live in the atmosphere of Vaikuntha, very soon our consciousness will return to normal. The fever will reduce. O best of the brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conceptions, I am suffering. But your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine to bring down this fever of material existence. They are the soothing waters for one scorched by the heat of material life. So as soon as we enter into the transcendental atmosphere of Krishna consciousness as the servants of the Lord, then we come away from these extremes. That I am this body, that I'm American, I'm New Zealand, I'm Australian, I'm black, I'm white, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this and that. And very naturally, we begin to act naturally, we see ourselves as servants of the Lord. And this material conception of the ahankara, it disappears immediately. And there is no other way to get rid of it. The ahankara is so strong. Just see how strong is the ahankara. Ahankara means aham mameti. Aham mameti means I am matter. And aham brahmasmi means I am spirit. So aham mameti, it is so strong, that conception of life, that false ego, that desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, that conception carries us from birth to, from body to body to body. Actually, when we die, we give up this gross body and the subtle body, which is the seat of this ahankara, or hamameti, this strong material conception of life, that carries us to the next body. So just see how powerful a material element it actually is, a material conception is. There's earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are the material elements. Earth, air, water, fire, mind, intelligence, and ego. Now see how strong the ahankara is. That this material body can be obliterated by some weapon, but it doesn't destroy the false ego. Even if somebody drops a nuclear bomb on your head, you know, your body just like disappears. You'd be poof, there's just nothing there. You can't even find an iota. You can't even find an atom of that body. I mean, maybe that's right. They drop a bomb, it's got to fall on somebody. In Nagasaki, Hiroshima, they dropped a bomb. Actually, I think they hit pretty much the center of the city in Nagasaki. And there were people, it was like, you know, prime time, everybody was outside. So they dropped a bomb. It must have, like, either landed on top of somebody's head or pretty near somebody. So what happened to that person? It just, like, became invisible. It wasn't that there was an arm here and a leg here and, you know, a head there. There was nothing. It just vanished. But what kept going? The false ego. So that false ego is very, you know, we deal with the false ego every day. Prabhu, don't do it like that. What do you mean, me? What about you? I saw you. You know, the false ego. You know, you should do this for Krishna. You're speaking to some karmic. You know, well, Krishna, what I mean, what do I need God for? I got me, I got my money, I got my pistol. What do I need God for? The hankar, the false ego, is so strong. We have to deal with this false ego. So, therefore, even after so much instruction, Krishna said to Arjuna, now I have spoken to you all this transcendental knowledge. Now you can deliberate on it. You can do what you want to do. You know this verse? You do as you want. He said, but if you act according to the false ego, you're lost. So we always have our independence to choose Krishna, to accept Krishna, or to reject Krishna. We always have this. Even after so much instruction was there. Then Krishna said, all right, now you have your independence. You're a living entity, and you have your independence. You can serve me or not. I've given you good instruction. But I'll tell you one thing, Arjuna, that if you act according to your false ego, you're lost. So just see, after so much instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, still the risk of acting on the false ego was there. So how strong is this conception of life, this material conception of life, that I and mine, aham mameti, or here it's stated, I and my, the illusory conception, how strong it is. What we have to fight, how strong Maya is, that we have to overcome this aham mameti, this bodily concept of life, that even an atomic bomb cannot destroy it. But what can destroy it? There's another weapon that can destroy it. Krishna varam tusha krishnam shangopanga shaparshadam yagnai sen kirtan payaya shantihi sumedasaha shangopanga shaparshadam. This means the Lord and his weapons. Shangopanga shaparshadam, the weapons and the associates of the Lord, can destroy the false ego. The Lord comes every age, and he comes with his weapons and his associates. So these weapons, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, and the Lord's devotees, they can destroy. What they can do with an atomic bomb, even at the end of the creation, isn't it? When the creation is annihilated, when Shiva does his dance and there's destruction, what happens to the living entities? Are they destroyed? No. They enter into the body of Mahavishnu and they rest there for a great period of time. And when it again is time for the creation, when the Lord again desires to create, all those living entities are born again with the creation of the universe. They're actually like in a type of sleeping condition. And they again take up their material activities based on their material desires. So it never finishes, does it? It just never finishes. It's never over. Even at the time of the annihilation of the cosmic creation, imagine how powerful that's. An atomic bomb doesn't even compare like a small ant to that. It's just total annihilation of the entire cosmos. Still the false ego remains. Still the conception, I am the enjoyer. I am the master. I am not the servant of God. What do I need God for? I am God. All these illusions, they remain. So we should never underestimate the potency of chanting the holy names of the Lord. we are chanting every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. But that chanting can destroy that conception of life. Jivar Surupoya Krishna Nityadas. And bring us to the natural understanding, I'm servant of God. So just see how powerful is chanting Hare Krishna. It's powerful than, more powerful than the dissolution of the entire creation. That's how powerful chanting is. If you chant properly, if you chant correctly, you can destroy that conception of the false ego. So these are the weapons of the Lord. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Goswami very nicely explains that there's only two religious principles in Kali Yuga. Actually, there's the only religion for Kali Yuga is service to the name and the Vaishnavas. Very wonderful verse. I forgot the verse. Anyway, it's a very wonderful verse. But he explains that there's only two religious principles in the age of Kali. That is chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas. That constitutes dharma. That constitutes religion. Because Shangopanga Shaparshada, the Lord has descended with his weapons and with his associates. For what reason does the Lord descend? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He descends to establish dharma, to establish religion. But because we're so fallen in this age, he makes it quality of our chanting increases also. It's not just that we have to chant 16 rounds, but we have to chant with proper quality, with clarity and quality, freed from the offenses to the holy name. We must study these offenses every day. They're their nectar of devotion. Learn to chant properly. Go from the offensive stage to the clearing stage, then to the sudhanam, to the pure stage of chanting Hare Krishna. Then we can reap the full benefit. But even if that's not there, it's like a devotee asked Prabhupada one time, Prabhupada, how can I make advancement if I'm making offenses when I'm chanting? Well, Prabhupada said that you just keep chanting and try not to commit offenses. Just desire to chant. Desire to chant offenselessly. That is good enough in the beginning. A desire to become Krishna conscious. We just try our best. We don't intentionally commit sin on the strength of chanting. Offenses may be there, but they're not intentional. We're trying to stop. That type of chanting will help to purify us. And gradually, so just like you have a rock, and there's a drop of water bouncing, you know, steadily off the rock, what will happen? Nothing. But, you know, come back in a few hundred years, you'll see a little hole starting to go through the rock. So like that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Of course, it's not exactly like that. We don't have to, you know, think that, you know, it will take many, many, many lifetimes. But still, it will work. It will affect if we're chanting. Then that ahankara. So what is the sign that the ahankara is dissolving, just going away? Sign, there's different signs. One sign is that a devotee takes great pleasure in practicing Krishna consciousness. That's a sign that one is actually beginning to make advancement. That he actually attached to Krishna consciousness. He feels comfortable and natural in devotional service. He likes to chant Hare Krishna. He likes to preach. He likes to study Prabhupada's books. He relishes the association of devotees. He likes to take up devotees. You don't have to say to that devotee, could you do this service? You know, well, I've got to do it. And he's always looking for service. He's always looking for an opportunity to chant. He's very Krishna conscious. Conscious means that he's aware of Krishna in the pursuance of his activities. So very soon, by coming to the natural condition, living in the association of the devotees, just like one wakes up from a bad dream, one wakes up from the materialistic conception of life. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, when we go back to the spiritual world, do we remember our activities in this material world? And Prabhupada said, yes. When you go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you will have a memory of what you did in this material world. You'll have a memory. it, even before you go back, because a devotee is liberated even in this world. Ihayasya hader dasha karmana manasha gira nikalishtiya vyavastashtu jivan mukta suchate. One whose body, mind, and words are engaged in the service of the Lord is to be considered a liberated soul, even while in this world. So what to speak about becoming liberated and going back to Godhead and remembering our activities then? Even in this lifetime, if you take up full devotional service, you're considered a liberated soul, as Jesus said, in this world but not of this world. In this world but not of this world. That is a devotee, because his body, mind, and words are all engaged in the service of the Lord. He's not considered to be a conditioned soul, but a liberated soul. Therefore, you can have that same realization. You can see material life as simply a bad dream. Just like you wake up in the morning, I'm glad I didn't have anything really to do with that. You know, terrible dream, and like it's real, you're really in it. When you're in the dream at night, you can't say, oh, it's just a dream, I'm just dreaming, is it? When you're having a nightmare, the full-fledged effect of that nightmare is there. A tiger is chasing you, you're sweating, you're crying out, help, help. It's not that, oh, it's just a dream, I'm not real. No, it's real. You're actually experiencing it. It's temporary. But it's real. So when you wake up in the morning, oh boy, am I glad that. Whew. Or you have a nightmare, you're a devotee, you dream you're a karmi. And you wake up, oh God, I'm glad it was a dream. Whew. I'm so glad it was a dream. So when we come to that stage of Krishna consciousness, when we look at material life and go, oh, what a horrible daytime, nighttime dreaming, that's what they're in. Their life's a nightmare, whether they're sleeping or they're dreaming, it's a nightmare. Daytime, nighttime dreaming. The only reality, the only waking condition is Krishna consciousness. That's the only waking condition. So as soon as one wakes up, so that is the realization of Bhivamangal Thakur. Bhivamangal Thakur, Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya said, now that I have taken to Krishna consciousness, I am enjoying ever fresh realizations and reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. He said, when I think of my activities in the material world, when I think of sex life, he said, my lips, they curl into states and I spit at the thought. So Yamunacharya was a great king. I think maybe you've read that book now, Yamunacharya. So you know what his life was. Yamunacharya was involved, he was a king, and kings are naturally inclined towards material activity. But by the grace of the Lord and his devotees, he became one of the most exalted devotees ever known. And thus, when he thought of his previous activities, you know, he just probably says, I think he would use the word spat. Although it's very wonderful to hear Prabhupada talk, because he had a very unique vocabulary, way of expressing things, you know. Krishna is another name. Is Yasoda Nandana. I always thought that was very key. Krishna is another name. You would generally say Krishna, another name of Krishna. Prabhupada would say, Krishna is another name is. That was very wonderful. So Prabhupada said, Yamunacharya, he spat at the thought of his activities before Krishna consciousness. So that's the steady stage of Krishna consciousness. Not that when we, you know, the material energy, you know, we still have some affection, but when we see it, we can actually be, oh, not at all attracted. That's when we're strong in devotional service. So Maya may come. Prabhupada said, as long as we have this body, material desires may be there. Prabhupada said, even in advanced devotees, those desires may come because the body is in contact with the material energy and the object of senses. But what is the realization of a devotee when Maya comes in the mind? Yes, I remember you, Mother Rudrini. You made me cry for a very long time. So please go away right now. Hare Krishna! Maya may come. It's not that Maya comes, that means we're in Maya. Oh, I had a material desire today. No. What is the test? The test is if you chose Krishna. Don't feel discouraged that Maya comes in the brain. You know, oh. You know, it's like Prabhupada said, these thoughts are like bubbles coming up from the bottom of the ocean. You know, like on the ocean, there's like, sometimes bubbles appear at the top. So those bubbles come from very deep, 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 deep down in the sediment. Deep, and just like we saw a movie or a little film about Dwarka yesterday, how there, you saw that movie about the excavation of Dwarka to prove that Lord Krishna's city was there, Dr. Rao or something. So, you know, they moved the sediment, you know, from 5,000 years under, and some little bubbles are released, and they come to the top. So, you know, so we're, you know, that deep, 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 deep down into the core of our hearts, there's, you know, some attachments, millions of life, the bubble comes up, you know, to our mind, you know. And devotees, no. So, yes, this is a material desire, but excuse me, I'm not interested. Could you please leave? Just like if you want to get rid of a guest, what do? You make him fast. You don't feed him. If you want to get rid of disease, what do? You don't eat, and then disease goes away. Fasting is one way to get rid of disease. So if you don't want to, if you don't like somebody, just neglect them. And they'll go away. That's why it's very hard to leave the association of devotees, because devotees are always feeding us. Can you imagine? Sannyasis are supposed to be very renounced and austere, but in this society, because ultimately we're devotees, when you try to take rest at night, they give you carob ice cream before you take rest, with whipped cream in it and cherries and strawberries, and very fancy pies. So this is the reciprocation of loving exchanges between devotees. Devotees love to exchange feelings with each other. We invite each other into our homes, we feed each other prasadam, we exchange gifts. We give pictures of Lord Nrisimhadeva away, we get carob sundaes. We reveal our minds, other devotees reveal their minds. And like this, this is the process of... I lost my track again. Where was I, Neela? Yeah, thank you. This is why I take him with me everywhere, because I always get on this little... But he's, of anyone, he's supposed to be listening very carefully. So, what was it again? Oh yeah, getting rid of it. So you want to get rid of it, because he's heard this lecture a few times also. He's heard this analogy. You want to get rid of the guest, then you neglect him. Then he'll go away. So now we have to go on Sangatan, so now Maharaj has to go, so, you know, we'll stop this feasting every day. So you want, a guest comes to your house, Prabhupada said, you don't feed him, he'll go away. So similarly, if you want to get rid of these desires, then you simply neglect them and they'll go away. Prabhupada said, there's two ways to deal with the mind. You neglect it, that's one way. Other way is to surrender to the superior authority of the instructions of the spiritual master. These are two ways you can control the mind. The most sure way is to surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master. Because even sometimes we can't control our mind, right? The thought comes, you know, okay, go away, huh? Just go away. You go away. Go away. Come again another day. So that's not so sure. It's pretty sure. If you just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, this mind, this rascal mind, how to deal with this mind? He said, when you wake up in the morning, you beat it with a shoe 1,000 times. Take this, pop, 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 pop. You beat your mind 1,000 times with a shoe. Or when you go to bed at night, you take a broomstick and beat your mind with a broomstick. I remember when I first joined the movement. I woke up one morning and there was one of the devotees and he had a shoe and he was hitting his head. He was one of the senior devotees. I was thinking, is this what happens when you get older? You have to hit your... You know, what in the world is he beating his head with a shoe for? So later he said to me, oh, I'm doing this because I'm trying to train my mind. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, beat your mind with a shoe. Beat it with a broomstick. So that's one way to control the mind. But it's not so sure. Just like, what is that devotee's name who takes care of the bulls at Govardhan? Lagudi? Lagudi, you know Lagudi? A real character, real transcendental personality, Lagudi. He he had these two oxen, which the whole countryside, all the farmers in the countryside knew about these two oxen. They were wild. They were so wild that, you know, they said, no one will ever be able to train these oxen. Never. What do you think, Prahlad? Prahlad? Yes or no? Yes, okay, thank you. What if it was no? We're speaking about the dreaming condition. Now, you're not supposed to be in the dreaming condition. You'll discourage me. So Lagudi, he has these bulls, remember? It was all a dream. Don't worry, now you're awake, everything's all right. So Lagudi had these bulls, and they said, never will anyone be able to train them. They're just so wild. But Lagudi, he was so determined. We should be as determined in Krishna consciousness as Lagudi is to train his bulls. Then we'll be successful. Just like Prabhupada said one time, devotees should be determined for Krishna as a karmi is for sense gratification. You remember how determined you were for sense gratification? Don't think about it too much, but just reflect on it. How determined we were in the material world? Very determined. Now, if we can develop that same determination for Krishna consciousness, we can be successful. As Rupa Goswami says, just as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted the same to young boys, with that same intensity, my dear Lord, let my love be for you. Let me have that same intensity I had for Maya. Let me have that for you. Then we can be successful. Anyway, Lagudi, he has this technique of training bulls. I don't know exactly what it is. I think he puts it in a, if it's like a little bit uncontrolled, he puts it in a bullpen, and he just fasts it. And every day he comes and preaches to it. You rascal, you nonsense, you do what I say. And he has a little stick, right? Boom, boom, he beats the bull. You know, this poor bull, you know, he's not eating, he's weak, you know, and there's this person, you, and he's preaching, and Lagudi goes in there, and he's not afraid of that bull at all. He's, you, and finally, he feeds him from his hand. He feeds the bull from his hand, so the only food the bull gets is from Lagudi's hand. So gradually a relationship begins that turns into master and servant. I said there's three ways of learning something. One, you can hear and accept. That's first class. Second, you can be told to do it and not do it and then learn from your own experience and finally accept. The third class is you're told, you don't accept. You experience, neither do you accept. Three types of ways of learning. Best way to learn is simply to hear. Spiritual master is speaking. Material life is like this. Yes, sir. Second class is to hear and, you know, okay, but still, you know, and then you experience, and then after so much, you know, experience, then you understand, okay, now I understand. Now I'll surrender. Third class is you hear, you never accept. So we should understand, we should see through the eyes of Scripture. That's that we should see. A saintly person sees through his hearing, not through his eyes. We can save ourselves so much trouble just by hearing from Prabhupada in his books. Anything you need to know, any danger there is, it's all described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if you don't read all my books, he said, if you don't read all my books, then you can fall down from Krishna consciousness. Because Maya has so many tricks. She's so expert. But the Lord's pure devotee can see beyond all that. So with his vision, by reading in Prabhupada's purports, every day, reading the translation and reading the purports and applying these to our lives, there's every chance that, you know, we'll never be trapped by Maya. But if we're not reading and not practicing, then there's the danger. So Prabhupada said, we must read all these books. Sometimes when I travel around, I ask the devotees to raise their hand. Who has read Bhagavad Gita in the last year? Who has read Bhagavad Gita in the last 6 months? Who has read Bhagavad Gita in the last month? Who has read Bhagavad Gita in the last week? Who's read Bhagavad Gita in the last day? And you would be very surprised. Who hasn't read Bhagavad Gita in a year? You know, and the many devotees raise their hands. Who hasn't read? When was the last time you read Krishna book? Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 3. Upadeshamrita. But there's no time. Well, we have a saying in America, There's always room for Jell-O. You meant to have Jell-O here? Jell-O's like a pudding. So, okay, there's always room for sweet rice, right? The big feast, you're full up to here. And they, oh, we forgot the sweet rice, you know? Somebody forgot the sweet rice, so they bring the sweet rice around. Would you like some? Okay. You just said to your mate, I'm so full, I couldn't eat another bite. Oh, here comes the cake. Here comes the sweet rice. Oh, okay, I'll take a little more. Just a little piece, please. Okay, then 10 minutes later. Anyone want seconds? Yeah, I'll take one more piece. But just a little, half of that, please. Just half of that. No, that's too much, Prabhu. What do you think I am, big sense enjoyer or something? Just a little bit of that. Okay. 10 minutes later. Anybody want more? I'll take a little more, just a little more. Where was I, Neela? Oh, yeah. So we have to always find time to read these books. Not that the day goes by and that there's no time. Because we need a strong foundation in Krishna consciousness, a very strong foundation. So by reading these books, we can protect ourselves against the influence of Maya. So are there any questions? Or comments? Maharaji? We're always preaching, because when you preach, you also hear yourself. And preaching is the most safe condition in Krishna consciousness. This is actually a missionary movement. There's danger in every ashram. There's danger in being a brahmachari. There's danger in being a sannyasi. Sannyasis offer so much respect, so much facility. One time, one sannyasi said to Prabhupada, he'd just taken sannyas, and he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it's very difficult. You know, he tried to be real humble. He said, it's very difficult. They're always offering me so many obeisances. Prabhupada said, you nonsense. They're not offering obeisances to you. They're offering obeisances to the super soul in your heart. You know, oh. So in any way of life, like I said earlier, a pauper can be proud of his pennies. So the risk is always there that we can fall into the bodily concept of life, of I and mine. But the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is very profound. So if we're always preaching, then that is the healthy state of life. And if that is our priority, whether we're a grihastha, whether we're a sannyasi, a brahmachari, or vanaprastha, whatever we may be, if we're always engaged in preaching activities, or activities related to preaching, just like we spoke about deity worship yesterday, also, we can't preach unless there's good administration in the temple. So it's all preaching. And if we're executing Krishna consciousness in that frame of mind, we'll be naturally detached. Because, as Prabhupada once told us, you must keep giving Krishna consciousness away, otherwise you can't keep it. You can't stay where you are unless you're giving Krishna consciousness to others. So if we're in that frame of mind, of always preaching, we'll be reminded always of our position as the servants of the Lord. That is the natural condition. Preaching is the safest place in the material world. So you can be in your home, you can be on the street, you can be in the temple, but if that mood is there of giving Krishna consciousness to others, then we'll always remember our humble position as servants of the Lord, and we'll never forget. Thank you. was the last part? Yeah. Every devotee is naturally inclined to preach. Preaching is not based on any material qualification, although in the beginning it may make it a little easier for someone because it may be a little more outgoing than others. But actually the natural consequence of becoming a devotee is that we want to preach. That's the natural consequence. It only happens naturally. Just like as you grow, you're a little baby, but as you begin to grow, then you certain things are natural. You develop certain facial characteristics, your hair grows, your intelligence develops, etc. It's only natural with growth. A flower is in a budding state. Maybe a better example. A flower is in a budding state, but as that flower begins to grow, it blooms, comes into full bloom. You know, when the sun comes out and the light and the heat, it's only natural that it blooms. It doesn't matter what kind of flower it is. Different varieties of flowers, but they all bloom. So one of the natural consequences of becoming a Vaishnava, if perhaps more than anything else, is this spirit of preaching. And it's only natural. So it's not that someone's necessarily more qualified than another for preaching because of the material qualifications. I'll tell you a story. We had a marathon in France one time. This was many years ago, 1973, and we used to distribute incense sticks on the street and then afterwards get the people to take a book. And we had these spiritual sky incense that was dipped in different colors, yellow, green, red, and blue. So our tactic was that, you know, we would come up to someone and put the incense under their nose like this, you know, so they could smell it. And I had yellow, Prabhava had green, somebody else had blue and yellow, and we had different colors. So we could tell if that who had approached what person because of the color under his nose. Well, that's Prabhava because that person has a blue mark under it. Oh, that's Mataji such and such because he has a green. So this one devotee, he was a very shy, reserved person, and you know, he wasn't very outgoing, but he kept winning every marathon. Kept winning every marathon. And naturally we think, oh, this person's more like outgoing and outspoken, but this shy little devotee, you know, he in a temple room, you know, he's just in the back, you know, always the last one to step forward. You know, he was winning all the marathons. So you wouldn't think, you know, if we had a material understanding, you would think somebody else might be able to do it, but no. So then finally, after 2-3 marathons, we asked him, what is your secret? You know, what is your mantra? What are you saying to the people to get them to take all these books? So he said, okay, I'll tell you. So the next day we went on the street with him and we came up close to him. We heard his mantra. You know what it was? Haribo, 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 Haribo. That's all he said. He was walking down the street with the person. But this devotee was very Krishna conscious. Every day he was very serious about his sadhana. So Prabhupada said, preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, but purity is the force. It's purity which is the force. This devotee was so sincere that, you know, he was so sincere in his desire to preach Krishna consciousness that, you know, he just said Hari Bol and people would like, you know, just melt because he was so, you know, determined. He'd say a few other words, but basically he would just stick to it. So that helped me realize that actually there's no qualification or disqualification for preaching. Oh, I hardly know anything about Krishna consciousness. Well, you know so much. You know you're not this body. And the greatest scientist or philosopher doesn't even know that. So you have so much to say to someone. And if you're convinced about the process, you can convince others. It doesn't matter who you are. The point is to become convinced about Krishna consciousness. You can say something, you know, da 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 da. But if you say it with conviction, it's like you see in the, sometimes we don't see, but people see on the television. You know, somebody comes forward with a can of shaving cream. It's the same, you know, stuff they've been selling for years and years, but it's in a different can with a different label and a different flavor. So he comes up and he says, "I, such and such, you know, athlete, or whatever, I use the shaving cream. I'm convinced you should buy it." telepathically, you know, honey, let's go to the store right now and buy some of that shaving cream, you know. But you've already got six cans. Yeah, but such and such, he's, you know. So I asked Pragosh, you know Pragosh? You've heard of Pragosh. He's a big book distributor. So for so many years he was distributing books, and then he started doing, he was Temple Prep, did other things like that. Then he's, now he's back in the airport. So I asked him, he's going, you know, with a suit on, with a shaved head. So I asked him, you know, what in the world are you telling people now in the airport? You know, what is your mantra? He said, I simply talk about Krishna now. That's all. Before I used to say, you know, this book is going to really make you know, like really, it's, this is a far out book, you know, it's like 5,000 years old, it's codes written down in Sanskrit, you know, it's got esoteric meanings, and you know, it's really... Now I just walked up to people and says, Hare Krishna, this is a book by my spiritual masters, Divine Grace, Nisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, about Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. You're suffering. You're actually suffering in this world. Look at yourself. Just look at you. You're working so hard for a little money. And, you know, that money's not bringing you satisfaction, you know. But Krishna is God. And you are an eternal servant of God. Jivarasurupoya Krishnara Nityadas. You are a servant of God. And your real position is to serve God. So if you read this book about God, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim, but you, this book is about Krishna. Now, you may have heard so much about us on the television and radio, but, you know, give us the chance. Read this book by a self-realized soul about Krishna. You know, and he's selling books like hotcakes. What is his mantra? It's not even, he's just naturally, being natural as a devotee. And people are attracted. That's why we don't have to hide anything in Krishna consciousness. We just have to present it as it is. We're proud to go on the streets in our dhotis and saris. When we go out in the street, some parts of the world where I go to, when devotees go to the store, they dress up in karmi clothes. I don't think this goes on here. But they change into their karmic clothes to go to the store. But we should like actually go to the store with our head held high, you know. We're Vaishnavas, we're devotees, we're representatives of the Supreme Lord, representatives of Śrīla Prabhupāda, the spiritual master. We have the most wonderful way of life. So, you know, let us present it as it is. We say in French, tel quel est, as it is. So Pragosh, he goes to the airport and he's got a shaved head and he just, you know, here's a book about Krishna. So, you know, what is the qualification? The qualification is purity. Now, everyone can become purified in Krishna consciousness. One may have this type of personality, that type of personality, but that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that there's variety. Just be who you are, but be Krishna conscious. You don't have to be like somebody else, because there's variety in devotional service. What would we do without our prabhavs? Or Kala Samvara, or anybody. It's the diversity, the differences that make the whole very wonderful. So you just be who you are, just become purified. You may be the shy little devotee who, you know, can't speak a word. Me, give class. Remember the first time I was asked to give a class at a university, one devotee had spoken before me. The last few sentences of his lecture were that we should not simply be parrots and just repeat the words, but we should repeat them with realization. You know, he was speaking about religion. Don't just practice religion, but try to understand what you're doing. What is the goal of religion? So then I was asked to speak, you know, Bhakti Brian, you know, 2 weeks in the movement, you know, big university, but all the universities, but I was young, they were all older than me. So I got up in front, you know. So, don't be parrots. Don't be birds. Religion is not for birds. What was it? Anyway, don't be parrots. Don't just repeat yourself all the time, but try to do real religion. What does that mean? That means don't be parrots. Don't repeat yourself. Well, all the students started laughing like you're laughing. Yeah. So I never knew how to speak. I was petrified to speak in front of them. So the practice makes perfect. And it's only natural that as one becomes Krishna conscious, whatever the external personality may be, that's all right, that's nice, the spice of life variety. We need, you know, all different types of devotees, but the purity of Krishna consciousness will shine through and touch the hearts of any conditioned soul. I'll tell you a nice Sankirtan story. Once we start the Sankirtan stories, I really... just to show the potency of devotional service. There was once this bank manager in Madrid. He had a big beard, a fat body, big man. Very materialistic, kind of a demoniac, I'd say. Smoked a big cigar, drank whiskey straight. So he went on an assignment to Paris, to some bank assignment, to exchange some whatever with some banks in Paris. So, you know, he got back on the train to come back to Madrid. It's about a 16-hour ride from Paris to Madrid, an overnight train. So he was sitting in his compartment, and somebody walked in. A lady walked in, and she was collecting for a farm where they had a school for children. They're teaching spiritual principles, and they're vegetarian, and trying to help others. So what the heck, he's got some change in his pocket. He wasn't a religious man at all, but the girl was nice, so he gave some change. And so she pulled out two books with a picture of Krishna. Krishna book part 1 and 2, and she gave him the books and she walked away. She said, thank you very much. So he became enraged because he said, what is this? This is some type of cult, some kind of sect, some kind of bizarre spiritual religion or something. And he became very angry and he just took those books and threw them on the ground and started stepping on them, kicking them around. He just couldn't control himself. I'd been cheated, So he walked out, he tried to find the girl, he couldn't find her. And he went to the conductor of the train. And he started, saying, this girl's going out, she's taking my money, Then the conductor was also a demon. So they went through all the compartments. That train was supposed to leave, they stopped the train. They found this devotee distributing books, and they literally picked her up and manually threw her off on the... threw her out of the train. They lifted her and they threw her. She fell onto the pavement, and her books and her papers scattered everywhere, her money, her change, everything. She hit boom in her head like that on the pavement. And they were laughing, don't you come back on this train. So she's crying. So then he went back to his seat, and they kicked the book again like that. So the train starts to go by. So the devotee, I don't know who she was, but the Mataji, as the train came by, her hands were folded, and she saw the man go by. So the train was going by, and she was saying, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He remembers, her in this position of, Tatikshiva Kurunika Suridham Sarvadehina, Ajita Sattavasanta Sadavasudabhushana, tolerance, friendliness, towards all living entity, having no enemies, peaceful, controlled, having all wonderful qualities, Sankirtan devotee. So there was no revenge, remorse, regret, She just was picking her things up. He came by, she folded her hands and said, Hare Krishna. So this touched his heart, this big demon. Here's a shy little girl, distributing books, a big demon punches her, throws her off the train, So, this is bringing to the point, what qualification do we need for preaching? We just have to be sincere. We just have to want to please Guru and Gauranga. And from that, all qualities will come. Yogik Shaman Bahamyam. Whatever, Krishna says, whatever you have, I protect. And whatever you need, I provide. So anyone can preach Krishna consciousness. All we need is to be sincere, and the Lord will empower us. Just like different light bulbs have different potencies. So the Lord will empower us according to our ability and potency as a devotee of the Lord. We can all be effective. So the train kept going. So the man, and the train went and it went all the way to the border between France and Spain. So then, he kind of woke up, lit up his big cigar, and then he looked down on the floor and there was these books, all crumpled, the cover. paper's all crumpled up and the book's all dirty with the footprints on it. So he picks it up, you know, he's got nothing to do, and he starts leafing through it, and he sees all these pictures of Krishna. So he's thinking, anyway, maybe these are nice pictures given to my daughter. You know, so he stuffed the book in his bag, and then, you know, left about 5-6 hours later, the train pulled into Madrid, he got out, and he went home, and he gave the book to his daughter, and, I'm not interested, Daddy, you know, this is just a book, you know, her daughter, he produced little demons. So, you know, she wasn't interested, so he just took the book and just flung it across the room onto some papers and stuff, so forth, and just left it there. And stayed there, and I think maybe it's somehow the wife somehow got into the bookshelf somehow. He didn't put it there. He said he just threw it, you know, forgot about it. So a few years later, his wife died, and it had such a profound effect on him. He was just like devastated, destroyed, you know. He just very depressed and everything. So in his desperation, he just wanted some comfort, some shelter, some knowledge. So he was going through his bookshelf looking for a Bible or something, and he came across this Krishna book, which had been there for many years. It was still all dirty. He mentioned that the mud was still caked inside. He took it out and just started reading, and he picked up the part where Vasudeva is preaching to Kamsa not to kill Devaki. And he's giving quite a lot of philosophy there, you know, about transmigration of the soul and karma and so forth, and he starts reading this, and he's reading and reading, and he's getting solace, he's getting comfort, and he's reading it on and on and on. And he said he read that book the whole day. He just sat down, read that book, and found great solace and comfort. And then a few days later, the address was in there, a few days later he went to the temple to take shelter of the devotees, and the devotees preached to him. And about 3 months of that, after that, he joined the temple. And then he was number one in the Bhakti program. And then he wanted to preach. He wanted to become a Sangatan devotee. Because he told me later, he always remembered the look in that girl's eyes after he'd beat her and thrown her off the train. So he said the compassion in her eyes, you know, pierced his demoniac nature and touched his heart. He never forgot it. So then he wanted to go on Sangatan. So he went on Sangatan. This devotee can tolerate anything because he knows what it means to have to tolerate on Sangatan, because he himself abused a devotee one time. So then he got initiated. His name is Surya Narayan. You know what his service is besides Sangatan? He's the temple treasurer. He was a manager of a bank, and now he's a temple treasurer. So just see what a little spark of life in the heart of a devotee, you know, humble little modesty, just, you know, trying to elicit some donations out there. But those Vaishnava qualities are far superior to any quality, so-called quality in the material world. Yasyasti bhaktir bhavati akinchana savayaganashtatta shamashyate shura. A devotee of the Lord develops all the good qualities of the demigods. But those who are not devotees of the Lord have only material qualities, which are of little value because they are hovering on the mental platform. So one quality of a devotee shines just like a moon in at nighttime. The moon is shining at night. It's all darkness everywhere. What are the stars compared to the moon? The stars are nothing. They're little twinkles up there. But the moon, one object in the sky, the moon is more brilliant than all the stars put together. So one quality of a devotee, we're speaking about many qualities, Tatikshiva, Karunika, Suridam, Sarvadehinam, Ajita, Satravasanta, tolerance, mercifulness, friendliness to living entities, considering no one to be my enemy, peaceful. There's so many qualities, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, austerity. Devotee very quickly, by cleansing his heart and Krishna consciousness, these qualities begin to shine forth. And they are much more brilliant than the dull qualities of the karmis. So a devotee should feel confidence. And he should also feel confidence that just by executing the instruction of my spiritual master, I will be successful. I may be what I am, I may be this, I may be that, but I am carrying the perfect instructions of Guru and Gauranga. And my duty is simply to give those instructions to others. That's how a Sangatan devotee thinks. He doesn't feel qualified. Even if he is doing so many books, he doesn't think, I am qualified, I'm more qualified than that devotee who's not distributing books. He's not thinking like that. He's thinking, I am simply the instrument in the hands of my spiritual master. And by his mercy, I'm going out and distributing these books. By the grace of Prabhupada, who wrote these books, these people are being delivered. And in that way, purity is the force. So, you know, every day we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. We're becoming purified. And whoever we are, and that we're becoming the pure who we are. And that pure will be attractive to everybody. And that variety of different types of devotees, different natures, that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Not just one, but many. Any other questions? Okay, so what time will we start our program this evening? We'll do the Amazon tonight. It might take a little while. Should we start at 4:30? Or will the devotees from the restaurant be back by then? You'll be back by... So then, okay, because I think that story takes a little while. I have to rest up for that one. It's a lot of energy in that one. A lot of crocodiles and piranhas. Get it, tell it like it is, right? So we can all come to, what is that, 4:30 the Artik? So we'll all come to Artik at 4:30, and then we'll begin the discussion, the Sangatan story. It's a big Sangatan story. The fish keep getting bigger and bigger. At 5 o'clock. And then if we finish before 7, then we'll have Sundar Artik. If not, we'll continue and then we'll finish. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Siddhai Gaura Chandra Ki Shri Krishna San Kirtanya Gya Ki Gaura Premanandi.